And this is where Notion, Airtable, companies are really leveraging this, is, you know, user-generated content, allowing people to, on Notion, for example, create all different types of cool pages and features that other people can just plug and play. Thinking for users, allowing them to be creative and also get a sense of how much more they can be doing is just super essential in today's world.
Welcome to the Product Adoption Academy. This is a show where experts and practitioners share inspiring UX examples and proven strategies to help you improve your product adoption. This is your host, Ramley John. Today we have Yaakov Karno. He is the founder of Valuable and Growth Advisor for many startups. Today he shares his perfect empty state template. Let's jump into the conversation. Yaakov, how's it going? How's your day so far?
It's going great, Ramley. Thank you so much for having me on the show. Yeah, I'm glad we made this happen.
Yeah, it's good to connect with you. Actually, we connected on LinkedIn first. I think we were both doing visual. I love how you've gone on the deep end, like really visualizing PLG. Particularly, we're going to be talking about your empty state example, this template that you provided. But before we do, you know, you work with many different companies around activation and onboarding. I'm curious how you define activation, because that's one of those words where if you ask like 20 people, you'll get like 30 responses. So I'm curious how you define what activation versus adoption is.
Yeah, most definitely. So it's super important to separate these definitions. And I'd say in one line that activation is getting users to experience the core value of your product, whereas adoption is getting users to build habits and associations within your product.
That totally makes sense. I like how you separate this. Actually, when I have the same opinion and view as you, where like it needs to be separated. And then why is it so important to separate that too? Because I think the Reforge course, they connected them both together, where activation is adoption versus like separating that too, in my eyes, is like two big milestones that's really hard to achieve. So is that why you see that as being separated versus being at the same milestone?
Yeah, I'd say there's three components here. First is being able to measure them independently, then using that information. So knowing which data points to be tracking, which metrics to be aware of, and then using that to guide where you should be placing your efforts and resources. When you're setting your plan out, you want to have super specific goals. And the more broken down that is, the more granular you get, the easier it will be to identify where you should double down on. And then also understanding, like more from the user's perspective, understanding when to guide users through different motions, through different journeys, when to push what.
That makes sense. I like how you're talking about breaking down because it's even measurable. I think several weeks ago, you talked about how even activation has this distinct steps to it. When people think about activation, it's just like activate versus like the more discrete steps there are, the much like it, you had this visual. I'm going to share it on the show notes where it's like climbing a ladder or stairs where imagine the steps are like 5 foot each. That's going to be a climb versus you make the steps discrete. What is that? What are those steps that you see in activation in itself?
So yeah, I'd break it down into different key milestones that the user hits within the product. And obviously this is going to be different for each product, and certain products may be super simple and they only have really one key function that they want the user to go through. But then most products are quite dynamic and they're going to have different key factors that they want the user to experience. And so being able to break that down into little bite sizes, little wins that the user can, you know, use a feature for the first time or use some sort of functionality where they get value from and they have that motivation boost, and it really just lowers that friction point to take them to the next level. So instead of only seeing it as let's just try get them to the end goal as quick as possible, it's like let's break that down, make it as easy as possible, building the steps for them to get there. Like the first visual I ever posted on LinkedIn, I actually tagged you.
Yeah.
That's so funny. It was the product-led panda.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah.
So it was a picture of a panda. It was a similar message, but visualized a bit differently. It was the panda was trying to climb the ladder and it couldn't even reach the first rung compared to when there was just, you know, smaller steps to be taken. And then the first side with the big steps was, huh? And then the smaller steps got him to, aha. And so giving them, really breaking it down, making it as easy as possible and as enjoyable as possible for users to get to those different milestones as quickly as possible.
I'm curious, I might be putting you on the spot here. I'm curious, what, do you have an example or you have like a favorite product that you see taking this bite-sized approach to onboarding versus something that is more of a leap? Like, is there one that you particularly look at and say, hey, everybody, look at what they're doing because they're doing that bite-sized stepped approach that you're talking about?
Yeah, my brain's like shutting down with so many examples.
I can imagine.
And I find myself always moving towards easier to understand products like Canva and Calendly, where there's a very short time to value. And so taking Calendly, for example, there's actually so much that you can do with Calendly, but the first thing they get you to in seconds is to just set up your meeting and be able to have a link ready. But even in their process, like their onboarding flow of setting up your hours and getting that experience of, wow, like I've got my own personal assistant here, is really well done, because it's a very subtle difference from they're just trying to get me to do so many steps and fill in so much information versus this experience of making it so straightforward and understanding what this is all building towards. So they know that in a few minutes, few seconds, they're going to have this ready to use link. And so when they do set up their own schedule and invite whatever they need to come to there, then it's like, it's a great experience, even with those small activation points.
That's so good. I do. I'm a big fan of Calendly. I remember when I signed up for it for the first time many years ago, they even ask you to send a meeting invite to yourself. Like, you know, there's that risk element of you sending that to a client or a podcast guest and things not working is very embarrassing. So like reduce the barrier of embarrassment by booking a meeting with yourself, which is like, that's genius. Like you're really lowering that friction that you're just talking about. I really love that. In terms of another visual you created that really did well on LinkedIn, it's around this like perfect empty state. For people who don't know, empty state is when somebody signs up for your product, they come to a dashboard that's empty. And the challenge with that is empty looks sad. It looks bad. Like it doesn't feel, it's demotivating. And you've created like the elements of what a great empty state looks like. What are some of those ones? I know the first one is around personalization. Like what does that mean? And why is it so important to personalize that empty state from the get-go?
Yeah, that's a great starting point. And so where I've included in the visual, as far as I can remember, I don't have it in front of me, is in the welcome. And so what was great there is that creating that really humane experience that, you know, saying, hey, Ramli, thanks for joining. Like we're speaking to you like we would if we were in person. But really, that's like the least that we should be doing with personalization. It's hard to show in a template, but really the whole experience landing in that empty state should be personalized. And before they actually get there, they should have some information on the user, either because they ask the user in some sort of profile screen when they, you know, signing up, they're asking them some questions, or based on the data that they have, and then guiding that empty state to really be fit to what they're looking for. So like a great example, and I've given this example many a times, but they really, like I've tried it out so many times and I love how different it is each time, is with Canva. And they just ask a simple question. I think it's like, what are you going to be using Canva for? And they have six options, a small business, a whatever the other options are. And based on that one question, the entire empty state transforms and gives you different suggestions, tells you different starting points. And that's just so key today. It's very rare that any product, even if it's one use case, it's very rare that there's like one persona that's going to be using it in the same way. And so asking those kind of questions to then just make one or two tweaks at the minimum and going as far to transform the entire empty state to give users that experience that it's right in front of me, what I was looking for.
I love that. I think that's one of my favorite examples where like they ask you a question and they guide you to the specific templates. I can actually also, for people watching this on YouTube, I can share the screen right now where it shows the template that you have here, where, you know, steal this template, designing your products, a product's empty state. We talked about personalization here. We have not just a welcome message, but you're really talking about personalizing the whole experience by asking questions up front. What I also find very interesting with this template is it's making clear to users, especially new users, what the next step is. I think like getting lost is one of the best ways to get people to leave right away. You talked about it in the description. There's a button to have a clear next step. There's a CTA on the left side that says what they need to do next. I'm curious what exactly, you know, why is it so important on making it clear for people to what users should do next?
Yeah. So where I came to this realization was I was working with a specific product. I won't mention them. I don't think they've even changed it in the empty state yet. But they had a certain process that they needed the user to run through before they could do anything. It was uploading a document or something. They found when we were going through the data that so many users weren't even taking that first step. And that was like just a crazy stat for me, seeing that the most necessary thing that they have to do wasn't obvious at all to them. And it was actually like somewhere on the side of the screen, didn't make sense. And so users didn't know how to get started. I actually tell companies that I work with that you should be able to ask someone who doesn't know what your solution is, doesn't know what your product is. They're just looking at the screen. Even if they don't understand like the segment or the type of product category, but they should be able to purely from the UX and the design, be able to tell you what's the next step the screen wants me to take. And so having that super clear, like, and simplifying it down to one specific CTA, this can be different for certain products. You can have multiple options here if it makes sense contextually. But you really want them to just take the first step, because if they get through that process, you can guide them so much smoother through the next.
I love that. And that also depends, I'm guessing it ties back to your first point around personalization. Depending on the user's goal, you can even personalize what that next step is. Is that
you definitely should, yeah.
I love that. That really, really makes sense here. It's all tying together. I think the other thing that's super interesting here that you really highlight in this template is start from a template. It's a template about a template. Why is templates so... I totally get it, but like I'm encouraging more companies, if you could, have a template. Why is it for you super important to have that template in a sense to get people started faster or something else?
Yeah, definitely. So I'd say first, there's two types of templates. There is one which is a ready-built next step. So let's say it's setting up a dashboard. It's a ready-made dashboard based on the goal. Let's say, for example, that would be one type of template. And then another type of template would be something more along the lines of suggestions of different formats to be used. And so with the first, it's more the company is building these templates, and the goal is to really, and this is always the goal, to make your user's life as easy as possible. And so in this stage, what you're doing is you're taking the steps for your users. There's often processes that, you know, setting up the screen, adding this table, that aren't necessary for the user to have to do, but that's just how the UX allows it to be, where you can just set that up for them and let them get started from scratch with something that's already been created for them. And then on the other side is you allowing them to think of more use cases when you show them suggestions. Like a great example here is Notion really did this so well. And it was actually a friend of mine, Ben Lang. He's the head of community at Notion.
Yeah.
And so he was one of the first 10 employees at Notion. And he has a really cool story of how he got there. And I'll probably tell it wrong, but I think he created the first template gallery database before Notion even had that.
Yeah.
and then he joined the team to take that to the next level. But what was so powerful is, and this is where Notion, Airtable, companies are really leveraging this, is, you know, user-generated content, allowing people to, on Notion, for example, create all different types of cool pages and features that other people can just plug and play. And so I think thinking for users, allowing them to be creative, and also get a sense of how much more they can be doing is just super essential in today's world.
That's such a good example with Notion. I'm a big fan of templates, because when you're faced with a blank page, your mind goes blank. I don't know about you. You're like, create something. I'm like, I don't know what to create. But like, if you give me some starting points, like with Notion, you can do endless of things with Notion. You can create databases. You can create a whole CRM. I manage the whole podcast workflow through Notion. We have like our whole like internal documents. Like, you can do so much stuff. Yeah. And what templates can do, what I'm hearing is like, it helps you like kind of get over that. Once again, going back to our first discussion, make it easier to get to that first rung rather than like, you know, getting hung up on something. It's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. And the same, coming back to that personalization element, this is where it can create such a great experience for the users, where they land in the product and, you know, based on some pieces of context, that these are the categories they'd be interested in. And when they land there and see, I didn't even know that I was looking for that. And there's 1, 2, 3 things that I need that. And I can get started so quickly. And then they actually create that template and it's done for them. It's delightful.
Yes. Yeah. Our friend Andrew Kaplan, he calls this as giving a user a head start. Instead of starting from the starting line, you make them start in the middle and make them like finish faster. I'm just a big fan of them. It's something that we've been thinking a lot about at AppQs, is like, how do we like plug and play templates for like product tours and other things like that. And it really is such a powerful method to do. What I find interesting, you mentioned, even with that example with Notion, is that creating templates using product, it's very engineering heavy. Mm. And you talked about how Ben was able to, like, I don't know, hack his way through templates. Is that what I heard? I've never heard this story before, but like, is that exactly what you heard from what they did with the initial templates? It was more like he created it and then he shared it, essentially.
I'm not sure. I don't know the details exactly, but what I do know is that they definitely leveraged that user-generated content. And when they saw that was a possibility, they doubled down on it and created an incredible community surrounding that. So that's where tools like Notion and Airtable are like incentivizing their users to share what they've built and to, you know, leverage their creativity. And then you've got a team of 100 product people, but you've got thousands of users, which are your mini product people that are, you know, spreading the word for you.
This kind of loops back to the idea that product-led growth with community is such a powerful flywheel, where like that community creating that they're so passionate about the product, they're either selling their templates or giving it away for free. That is something that is such a powerful moat that is hard to copy to other competitors. I'm curious what you see that link between product-led growth and community is. This is one perfect example of it. I'm curious what your thought is on community with PLG.
Yeah, I think there's so many different areas that community supports, like starting from that, like support and help. People, it's just such a great feeling. One of the best experiences I've had with the tool with Zapier is being able to look up any question in their community, and there's a great discussion, super to follow steps like from users, from other people. So just having that shared support system and help center is super powerful. And then leveraging, creating brand advocacy, allowing people to actually connect with your brand on a deeper level that they want to share it. And ultimately, word of mouth is by far the best viral hack and a weapon to be used. And so allowing, making it a priority to place efforts into letting users feel proud of the brand. It's part art, part science, but it's,
yeah,
there's so much to be done there.
That's so true. I think that is really it's such a great play for you talked about more acquisition with word of mouth. Such a great retention play as well, where like when you leave, you're not just leaving the product, you're leaving your friends, you're leaving your community, yeah, you're leaving people that you connect with behind. And that's why I think people who are like connected to the Notion community, it's so hard for them to switch to another product because they're saying goodbye. They might potentially be saying goodbye to a community as well.
On the more subtle level, like I still find myself, whenever it would come up in context, I'll tell people like, I love Notion. Like, you got to try it. It's just amazing. And
right.
Elena posted such a great little post one of these days about, I think she called it Love Bites, word of mouth. And creating those, like, it's nothing technical. It's nothing about the features and functionality. It's just really creating those delightful experiences, which will enable people to share. That's what people want to share. And there's a lot of psychology behind it. Mm. And there's really great books out there that explain how to leverage social currency and all these kind of psychological techniques. But ultimately, it comes down to the most basic truth that when you have a great experience, you want to tell people about it. So you do.
That is true. That's part of why it's so, like, there is that human psychology element to it that, they love, like, the word love in itself, yeah, about a product. It's such, these days it's like, people say willy-nilly, but like when you actually mean it, like it is, there's something special that happens there. And I feel like that's, those delightful moments come with great product experiences and great community experiences. It really is all ties back together. I know we went on this like community tangent. I love it though. It really ties back to this empty state. And then we've talked about several examples of great empty states. We've talked about Canva. We've talked about Calendly. Are there other ones that you've seen? And you can even mention Calendly and Canva as well, where you saw a great example of how they do empty state that, kind of shows elements of what you've, even Notion, empty state would probably be a good example. Sounds like we're Notion fanboys right now. Yeah. We are, but like, I'm curious, I'm asking for an example for an empty state.
Take Notion is a perfect example.
Yeah.
And I'll explain how they take it to the next level is that it's not only the first landing page that you experience this genius. It's every single time you create a new page. And this is really, empty states exist way after onboarding. Every time you create a new page, they make it so intuitive and are plugging in suggestions and creativity and templates. And that's just such an awesome experience. So even way down the line, you know, I had a great visual showing that, you know, it goes activation, adoption, and then it hits the point of a door. You know, this was taken from that original PLG flywheel. And it's where they hit a door that things really take to the next level. And so a lot of people will stop at the technicalities. Okay, even if they've built habits and association, but really building that sense of love that you really like enjoy this product comes of a continuous effort showing them that you're making their life better and easier. And the little things that just make you smile, you know, when you start your day and you have to create a new document or whatever. And it even could be something that you're not looking forward to, but then everything's just easy and it's done. And you can just create it from a template. Like it's a continuous good experience.
That's just a good example. I'm going to link the Notion. Probably people are going to see a bunch of signups, Notion folks, because of this conversation. Check out the community and the templates. I want to shift gears and talk about you. What are you currently working on that you find exciting? Anything new? Anything that that you'd like our listeners to know that you're working on right now?
Yeah, so I'm working now on launching my first PLG cohort. And nice. I've been working with a range of companies and really refining my system that I created called Zero to Product Led. And it's the step-by-step system to allow you to have everything you need to design, build, and execute your PLG model. And now I'm excited to try get more people involved and help more founders. And the way to do that is to get them on board together. And I find that founders speaking to each other, something that I really found was so powerful from the OpenView PLG community, was part people just relating to each other's struggles and knowing that they're not on their own. And then two, getting such creative ideas from how other people are solving the problems. Yeah. And so I think that group effort is super powerful. So we're creating our first cohort and going to be taking the newsletter and content to the next level. We're going to have different eBooks coming out, really helping you with simple guides. So stay tuned to that.
Awesome. Where can people find those? I know I'm going to tell people to follow you on LinkedIn, Yaakov Karno, PLG Growers. I think that's on Substack. But like, where can people find all this, even the cohort and the newsletter online?
Yeah, so we're in the process of upgrading the website. It'll probably be ready when you're listening to this. So that's at valuable.com. That's valuby.com. And there'll be some more details there. But yeah, subscribe to the newsletter. All the updates will be there too. Follow on LinkedIn and reach out. I'm happy to chat whenever.
Awesome. Well, Yaakov, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate all those links that you just mentioned will be in the show notes and description below. So appreciate your time here.
Awesome. Thanks, Romney.